Christmas or Easter? Which is your favorite? I think most people generally prefer Christmas. Decorations, all kinds of great foods and desserts, and of course, presents. Plus, Christmas is all about family and the baby Jesus. And who doesn't love the baby Jesus? And really, that's great. Christmas is all about the incarnation, about God becoming man. And now every human being has a new dignity, a new value, a new hope, because God became one of us. Imagine, it's impossible, but still imagine, that we found a way to transplant human consciousness into the bodies of animals. All of a sudden, we'd start being much more careful about how we treat animals, because all of them would be valuable as potential lifesavers, and we'd need to be careful that we never harmed an animal body with a human mind. It's an odd analogy, but really, when God became man, human beings become more than they were. And that's one of the reasons that Christmas is such a big deal. And yet, as important as Christmas is, as beautiful, as sentimental and consoling, Easter goes a bit further. Of course, the two are connected, and they can never really be separated. But Christmas is a beginning. Easter is the goal. At Christmas, all human beings and all human activities gained a new value because God lived as one of us, sharing our work, our joy, our hopes, our sorrows, our pains. God brought divinity into our world. But with Easter, Jesus Christ brings us into divinity. At Christmas, God became man, and at Easter, men become like God. When Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he did not rise in an invisible or merely spiritual way. The women found his tomb open and his burial cloths emptied. His body was gone because it came back to life. But not to ordinary life. No, it's to a new and supernatural life, never to die again, able to pass through locked doors, shining with a new life, resembling the old but somehow different. This glorified body of Jesus Christ is an amazing reality, but it is also a promise. You too will rise with your body, transformed and raised up. That's why I said it would be impossible to actually transfer human minds into animal bodies. We are human beings, soul and body. We were created that way, we live that way, and at the end of time, we will stay that way forever, for better or for worse. So the resurrection of Jesus allows us to be glorified. And here's the best part. That glorification, that transformation of Easter, doesn't just happen after we're dead. It begins now. Our bodies are going to let us down and ultimately fail because they are still earthly bodies. But even while these earthly bodies fade, we can begin to taste the life of glory, the life that includes a sense of purpose and meaning, even in the darkest moments, a real and lasting peace beyond understanding, and experiencing in profound ways what it means to be loved at the deepest level of your being. No amount of fleshly pleasure, no amount of power, no amount of money can compare to those things And that doesn't even consider the fact that all of those things will fade, but the glory of heaven, the glory of God becoming like God on earth, will last forever in heaven. But we have to cooperate with that transformation. Don't just take it from me. You can look at your missalette again, right there at the second reading, that second option, the first letter to the Corinthians. That is a letter from St. Paul, a man far wiser, holier, and happier than anyone I know. He says, "Do you not know that a little yeast leavens all the dough?" Wait, Paul, why are you talking about yeast? So that you may become a fresh batch of dough. Why would I want to be a fresh batch of dough? For our paschal lamb, Christ, has been sacrificed. And what does that mean? Paul is obviously using a metaphor. When Jesus showed up, everyone in the world was like moldy and infested old bread, doomed to be discarded forever. But Christ became the paschal lamb. Paschal, like the paschal candle. In every other language, when we say Easter, they say Pasch, or Pascha, or Pesach, which means Passover. When a paschal lamb is sacrificed, we pass over from death to life. And when that paschal lamb is Jesus Christ, God incarnate, we don't just pass over, we are recreated. So if we were infested moldy bread before, Christ's sacrifice made us new. When we were baptized, just 12 hours ago, five people were baptized in this church. And when we were baptized, we embraced the death of the paschal lamb. And we were recreated. We have become that fresh batch of dough. But here's the catch. It's not really a catch. Jesus is pretty upfront about it. Being made new, becoming a new batch of dough, a new human being, doesn't mean that we never worry about anything again. If we are not careful, that new batch of dough can end up just like we were before, infested and rotten. That is why Paul warns us that a little yeast leavens the whole batch. At the moment of baptism, at the moment that we finish a confession, we are a pure batch. But each sin adds a little or a lot of that yeast, which spreads and begins to corrupt our souls all over again. The reason that it is a problem is not that God is looking to catch you in your corruption and punish you, but that that corruption prevents us from accepting his gift. He rose from the dead to show us the path through death into eternal glory. But we have to follow him. And corruption, sin, they lead us away, they blind us. They make us think that heaven and God are boring. No death, no pain, no existential dread, no threats of world war, no corrupt and incompetent politicians, no lunatic terrorists. That's just a tiny bit of what heaven and glorification offers to us. And we think it is boring or unimportant. But we are here now, celebrating, reliving the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is risen, he is truly risen, and he wants us to rise with him. So yes, we celebrate Christmas and we celebrate Easter, and both give us hope and remind us what life is really about. But Easter isn't quite like Christmas. Christmas remembers Jesus' birth, and it celebrates the incarnation. But Easter makes present the resurrection. Especially today, we mystically come into contact with the victory of Christ. We do it in prayer. We do it especially in the Eucharist. That is because Jesus didn't just rise from the dead to tell us there's something to look forward to, but to transform us now. And so if we want that eternal life, if we want a life that is worth living now, we should hear what the angel tells us. We should run to the empty tomb and run to Galilee to meet Jesus. We accepted our baptism, and in a few minutes we will renew our baptismal promises. We've become that new batch of dough, that new creation. So beware the yeast of sin, wickedness, the yeast of distraction, the yeast of pride. Rejoice today and really celebrate. It's the resurrection of Jesus. But every single Sunday is a miniature Easter. So if you want to avoid that corruption and embrace the gift that God has given us, don't let today just be an annual thing, but stay with it and live it daily. Celebrate it weekly. Remember it always. Paul tells us, celebrate the feast with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. No matter our faults, no matter our sins, if we approach God with sincerity, He will forgive us. He will guide us. He will not give up on us. And the truth is this. The world will continue to offer you pleasure, power, and money. But you were made for so much more. Every single one of you is meant for greatness, for eternal glory, for perfect happiness. All you have to do is follow Him. So what are you waiting for?